Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Oh, sing it.
Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Blessed be.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Baruch Hashem
Adonai.
One more time. Father, we worship you. We thank you for honoring our gathering with your tangible presence. We love you because you first loved us. And like we sang earlier, we worship you because of who you are. For the invisible things of you are clearly seen, being understood by the things that you have made. So men are without excuse. He said, for what that which may be known of God is manifest unto them. For God has showed it unto them. You're a good God. You're responsible. We worship you. As we go into your word, we ask the same tangible presence go with us. Lord, come and open this word. And then open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that we will just not know it. We will have a revelation of it, and then we will have a transformation by it, that we will live lives that are pleasing unto you, like the Lord Jesus who went ahead of us. You will say of us, as you said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Help us. Give us fresh revelation. Let our minds be enlightened, emotions controlled by your fruit. Let power flow from you through me to the air, through the electronics, to the ends of the earth, for healing, for deliverance, to break yokes and free men, so that they will be doers of the things they hear and not hearers only. That the earth will witness in this season a company of your people that will truly reflect the fullness of your glory. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
You may be seated. Today I have a very fundamental but crucial message. Like I said during the Bible study, in these last few months and weeks, God has downloaded to me. Wow. It's never happened to me before. And I believe it's a new phase. A whole series of messages. I'll be praying, reading my Bible, and just come. So I've written the outline of all of them down. It'll take probably 6 months, if not a whole year, to preach all of it. But I'll be taking it in bits and pieces as he permits me. The new year is going to be very important. a New Year message. Like I said during the Bible study, 24 is going to be a year of selection and preparation. And when you come for the Watch Night service, you will understand the context. I'm going to be talking about the times of the Feasts of Tabernacles. Fresh revelation has come. Fresh to me and to you. Fresh. And God's given me a whole perspective by His mercy and grace of not just now, but another 10 years. About 30 years. By which time, all this stuff will all round up. And because one of the characteristics of true prophets, I'm also going to be talking about overcoming the deception of lying prophets. It's rife in the church, but we'll overcome it. One of the characteristics, hallmarks of true prophets is that they have understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. And the word times there in the scripture actually means years. So a true prophet will be able to have understanding of the year 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028, 2029, 2030, 2031, 32, 33, right on to the close of the age. The age is going to close with the manifestation of the sons of God at first, which will then trigger the discipling, making of disciples using the pattern of the 12 and the 70. Disciples aren't just people who are born again. Well, the pattern of the 12 and the 70, that is the scriptural pattern of the disciples. In every tribe, tongue, and kindred. When all that is over, that'll take about another 20 years. I use the word about, because when you talk about types and shadows, you must not be, unless you're a deceiver and you lack understanding, you cannot be rigid, because it is a God and man combination. God does his part, man does his part. So the Bible speaks about hastening the coming. So that means there's implication for delaying his coming. So that's why it's about. It's about, maybe 20 something, 30 years. I don't think it'll be more than 30. And after that, the rapture of the perfect church. Then after that, the great tribulation, which would take us above 2050. You know, the other day, my wife and I were watching, and Pastor Wally and Kitty were watching the news in England, and I see all of them planning for 2050. I just shake my head. And these guys haven't got a clue that Jesus is coming soon. Now, he's not coming tomorrow. But he is coming. You can take it to the bank. Today's message is foundational, fundamental, and I have entitled it Overcoming Sin and Condemnation. For us to move ahead in the great things that are in front of us, you must master. And I thank God for that song, that Pastor Andrew song, The Faith of Jesus. And he chose it himself. He sent it to me for approval, of course, but he chose it himself. He didn't know what I was preparing. So I knew that, the Lord, he says he only takes a view of me and you through the righteousness of Jesus. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm justified by the faith of the Son of God. Now, people say it, but they don't understand it. And what I yet not I, the grace of God, which is with me, want to do this afternoon, is I want you to be solid. Just before I start, I read the scripture. See, in your Christian life, you should get to the place where you are never under condemnation again. Never. Doesn't mean you don't sin. But even when you do sin, you know exactly how to deal with it. and you live above condemnation. The reality, by the time I finish this message, the reality of this statement should be your experience. For sin will not have dominion over you because you do all things right. No. But because you are not under law but under grace. It's one thing to say, it's another thing to experience it. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans in chapter 8. And I'm going to read the first four verses to start with. It actually links up from chapter 7. I'm still going to do chapter 7 later on. But I want to just zero in on this to begin with. And everybody read after me out loud. There's something about saying God's word that registers on your heart. There's a place to think on it. There's also a place to say it. And actually what you should do is both. You say it, then you think it. You say it, and then you think it. The word is neither in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. So let's be good children. Good boys and girls. Good men and women. And let's just do what he says. Trust me, he's much smarter than you and I. Not just smarter, much smarter. Don't let me get off on that. God is so, I'm crazy about God. I guess you can know that already. I love Jesus. You know, like Kenneth Copeland said years ago, he said, this guy's a fanatic. A fanatic is just someone who loves God more than you do. So to you, he looks peculiar. David Ingalls sang a beautiful song, Peculiar. You know, we look peculiar to people who don't love God. Even Christians. You say, what's wrong with them? We just love God more than you do. You know why? We appreciate what he's done more than you do. We're experiencing more what he's done more than you do. That's why you don't love him as much. The more you experience what he's done, you know, and what he's made provision for, the more you're going to love him. The less you love him. So read out loud. There is therefore now. Everybody say this much louder. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In the original Greek, there's a full stop there. The who walk not out of the flesh, out of the spirit is not in verse 1. It's actually in verse 4. If you have a King James Bible, you'll find that it's in italics. So the translators put it in at their, you know, the carnal mind. Well, you know, but that's not what it says. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Full stop. And you're going to see the reason why it is so. I, by the grace of God, so with me, I'll show you. There is therefore now, if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Does that mean you should sin? Certainly not. It says, God forbid, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So it's not an excuse for sin. It's just the way things are. That's the reality. If you are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. And I'll explain, you know, as we go on. Four means because, I didn't hear you. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You got two laws here. We're not dealing here with moral law at the onset. We're dealing with spiritual law, which ultimately will come and fulfill moral law. We're talking here about spiritual laws. There are two of them. There is one which is called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Put simply, it is the law in Christ Jesus by which the Holy Spirit gives you divine life to enable you overcome the law of sin and death. When sin happens, when sin occurs, it causes a block between you and God, which results in spiritual death. Spiritual death is a separation from God, which results in a corruption of the things God has put in you. The Holy Spirit will help me here. let me explain something. I was actually thinking about that thing today. I wasn't thinking about the message. I was just my normal meditations. Because I pray a lot in the Spirit, you see, by the grace of the mercy of God. So I'm always having all these lovely thoughts. And I recognize now that it's not because Olubi is smart. No, it's God who's putting them in my heart. You know? And the thought came to me that once you make good, there is a possibility of evil. You cannot create good without there being a possibility of evil. Not possible. And I'll tell you the reason why. Once you've done something that is good, you know, the Bible says only God is good. There is a possibility that another being, created being, can distort. Evil is simply a rearrangement of good. During the Bible study, I used a simple illustration, but very graphic, of arsenic. Arsenic is a chemical. It's made of carbon, oxygen, I can't remember. You can Google it. You know, it'll tell you the formula. You know, it's just like any other material. The only thing that makes it poisonous is the configuration. The word configuration is a big word for arrangement. In other words, the way the atoms, the molecules, the protons, the neutrons, let's keep it simple, you know, and the electrons that make it up, they're arranged in such a way that makes it arsenic. Take the same protons, the same electrons, and the same neutrons, rearrange them and you get water. Water won't kill you, arsenic will. Glucose will give you strength and energy. It's made of, they're all organic substances. It's made of carbon, oxygen, you know, nitrogen, all these things. You arrange in a particular way, it becomes glucose. You take the same thing, you arrange in a wrong way, it becomes arsenic. That will kill you in 5 minutes. Glucose will give you strength. So, when God made everything, He made it good. So, He made glucose. I'm just using that as a illustration. Things that will give you strength and energy. Then He tells you, say, don't touch it all. Don't tamper with it. Because if you tamper with it and you change the arrangement, what I have done that is good will now become evil. That's the origin of all evil. Anything, you want to do something good, you know. I remember where I got the thought from. You know, I got the thought and then it was developing in my heart. And now, the Holy Spirit now triggered me. You know where I got it from? CNN. I was watching a program which is called Tech for Good. They do it, there's this girl in Hong Kong, one of the CNN anchors, Christy Lou Stout, I think that's her name. Nice lady, you know. So they were showing all the new technology. You know, it's called Tech for Good. It's from there the Holy Spirit took it. He said, all that technology that is good, the same technology, twist it a little bit and it will become evil. The splitting of the atom that came from the theoretical physics of special relativity that Albert Einstein, you know, that shows us that even in a mass that is just dormant, there's inherent energy. And a lot of it. As you get E is equal to mc squared. C is the speed of light. So you get a lot of energy from just a small tiny mass. Because that's the way God made it. That energy can be used in two ways. You can use it to power a plant that will give electricity. Good. The same energy can be used to create a hydrogen bomb or an atom bomb that will destroy a city like New York. You know, not the tiny crackers that were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They're toys compared to what we got today. With the kind of bombs we got today, if they dropped it, I'm not talking about Lagos. Lagos is small. a city like New York, you know, the whole of Manhattan, Pastor G, you know, Brooklyn, all pulverized in seconds. The same formula, E is equal to MC squared. Tech for good. And then from there, God began to develop this in me. He said, you know, he said, everything that is good can be turned to evil. Then he asked me this question. Should I then not make anything good? He said, because there's a potential that good can be turned to evil, would that then stop me from doing good? He said, no. He said, that's why I went ahead and made man. That's why I made him and made the planets. He said, I've made everything good, and then I now tell the creations that this is how I have made this thing. This is how it is good. If you do this, this will distort it and it will become evil. So I now made laws that will protect good and will fight evil. That is why all those who do evil will be punished and removed from circulation and put in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, so that they will not continue to distort the good that God has done. All that came from CNN. So when you're watching TV, say, God, what are you saying? You'll be amazed God will talk to you, even from watching CNN. All right. So there is therefore now, let's go back to that. You're still on my side. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Full stop. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, spiritual law, just like the law of lift in aeronautics, hath made me free, or has enabled me to overcome the law of sin and death, like the law of gravity. So the law of gravity, you know, it's just simple. Everybody can observe that. We threw a ball up a helicopter because of the gravitational force between the ball and the earth. So when an airplane flies, it releases energy, let's just keep it like that, you know, force that causes a pressure difference between the wings. So you're going to have more pressure under the wing than the one that's over because of the speed of the air. So that causes what is called lift. So the lift causes the airplane to rise above the law of gravity. Observe, the law of gravity is not suspended, it's overcome. It's still in operation. But so long as the airplane is flying at the right speed and it has petrol or kerosene, you know, and it, you know, either the propellers are revolving or the jet is coming out, it will stay afloat. So it is in the spirit. The law, the problem is, this is a disaster, you know. The church is so ignorant. You know, Paul wrote it three times, more than three. I would not have you ignorant. You know, the law of the spirit of life, most Christians don't even know what it is. There is a law. It's not, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Those are moral laws. This is a law. This is a spiritual law of the spirit of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus will liberate you. It will cause you to live above the law of sin and death that will bring you down. But you have to know it. Then you have to activate it. It is the doing of that that will enable you now to keep moral law. Those are the next two verses. Verse 3. For what the law... Now he's talking. You see again, if you don't know your Bible, you will not be able to rightly divide. The law of verse 2 is not the same as the law of verse 3. The law of verse 3 is the moral law of the Ten Commandments. Don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery, etc., etc. For what that law, that moral law, could not do, in that it was weak, there's nothing wrong with the law, through the flesh, through the sin nature that is inside the human flesh, the mind, the emotions, and the physical body, God, the solution, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not sinful flesh in the likeness. In other words, he took on a human body just like us. But his own human body did not have the sin nature in it. And for sin, condemned sin in the church, in the flesh, excuse me. That's, we're going to see it more clearly as I go on. But that's the reason why there is no condemnation for you. The condemnation for the sins you commit, Jesus has paid the price for it. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, I don't know. That's shouting country, man. Hallelujah. Now, he explains in verse 4 that the righteousness, the righteous requirements of the moral law, the Ten Commandments, will be fulfilled in those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's where that comes in. So that should not have been in verse 1. It should be in verse 4. Is this clear? Let me keep it simple. If you activate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you will get the power, the wisdom and the strength to keep the moral law. But if you don't, and you try and keep the moral law, the sin nature in your flesh will cause you to fail. That is why Pastor Andrew read it earlier on today from Galatians when he sang that song by David Ingalls. Therefore, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The sin nature in the flesh can never keep the moral law. That's why God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Condemned sin by dying on the cross in the flesh. Hallelujah. That we can keep, that the righteous requirements of the law will be kept by us who walk not after the sinful nature in the flesh, but after the nature of the Holy Ghost. It's quite a bit to unbundle. And you know the funny thing? I remember listening to Kenneth Copeland. This is 43 years ago. It was in 1980. Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. I can never forget it. One of the greatest messages, as far as I'm concerned, that he's ever preached. The day I meet Kenneth Copeland, I'm sure I'll meet him soon. I'll tell him, and I'm sure he will agree with me. I think it's one of the best messages he's ever preached. That day it was a series of meetings. You know, you know, Kenneth Hagin would preach in the evening. Kenneth Copeland would preach in the morning. I went to camp meeting, 1980, Tulsa, Oklahoma. He broke this thing down. And I remember Kenneth Copeland saying then, and it's still true today, he said that it's just in the last few years that the church has begun to understand these scriptures. And then he also said, as we still don't understand it well enough yet. Looking back now with hindsight for over 40 years, the understanding I have now, I didn't have it then. Those scriptures are obscure to most of the church. We don't understand. What does it mean? But gradually, light, the path of the righteous is a shining light that shines more and more. So what I'm giving you now is an updated version. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That the righteous requirements of the law. Now, having explained that, let me go on in the message. It says we are to overcome sin. Should be off here. Good. We are to overcome sin and the condemnation it brings by the honest. Everybody scream honest. I didn't hear you. Scream it. We are to overcome sin and the condemnation. And sin does. When you sin, Satan will come and try and condemn you. That's his stock in trade. So, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. He says, the accuser of the brethren. Satan is one of the worst people you can ever meet. He will tempt you. He is the one who will put the lust in your mind. And he will put spiritual forces to make you do the wrong thing. Then when you finally do it, he's the same person who will now turn around and say, hey, you will die. He's a terrible person. Terrible. Terrible. So, anyway. Yeah. By honest use. I would say honest use of the blood of Jesus. By praying the blood of Jesus, the life of God, and praying in the Spirit. So you overcome sin at two levels. You overcome the nature of sin. I'm not talking to anybody here. Oh, somebody give me a wave offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't sleep on Pastor. I mean, he's just back, so don't sleep. All right. Okay. You know, you overcome. You see, all these things is precision knowledge. What the scripture calls epignosis. You know, you got to overcome sin at two levels. You overcome, firstly, the nature of sin. Then you now overcome the deeds of sin. If you don't separate it, you'll be under condemnation. You understand what you're doing. In fact, Paul says so. We're going to see that in a minute. So we overcome. Thank you, Jesus. What's going on here? This thing is... yes, okay. That's better. Good. All these electronics, you know, it will reduce the page when you don't want it to reduce it, and expand it when you don't want to expand it. So by honest use of the blood of Jesus, the life of God, and praying in tongues, you can dominate, or you should dominate both. Everybody scream, both. The nature and the acts of sin. See, people, the church for millennia has focused on the acts of sin and not dealt with the nature of sin, which is what causes the acts of sin. It was E.W. Kenyon. Let's give E.W. Kenyon a super clap offering. Not a super one. You know, oh, they're alive. Oh, they're not dead. Because it's not the God of the dead, it's God of the living. They can hear from heaven. They can see what you are saying. Okay, good. E.W. Kenyon, in his wonderful books, you know, the two kinds of righteousness, the two kinds of life, what happened from the cross to the throne, you know, the hidden man of the heart. Time would fail me. How many? And you know, up till today, he's not appreciated in the church. That's E.W. Kenyon. They don't even know who he is. God gave him fresh revelation after 200 years of John Wesley. John Wesley did a great work and talked about, you know, the second work of grace, sanctification, all of that. But it was E.W. Kenyon that brought clarity on how that thing actually works out. And that's what I'm telling you now, with greater clarity by the grace and the mercy of God. Now watch this. You got to deal with the nature of sin, and then you have to deal with the deeds of sin, so that you will now come to the experience of Romans 6:14. For sin, both the nature of sin and the deeds of sin, will not dominate you, because you are not under the moral law, but under grace, which gives you access to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that sets you free from the law of sin and death. I don't know if you're getting it. Although I shall know, like my muffin would say, is it Brother Lupi? Although I joy you what? Because the honest truth is that Koyewa. Koyewa. The church has been roaming through Romans. Everyone was just born again. You know, when I was in London, you know, the Christian Union, there's this InterVarsity Press. And you know, all these, and some of them, they're nice men. You know, looking back now, I have a good heart. I don't condemn anybody or anything. You know, they were doing the best that they knew to do. But they were using sense knowledge, intellectual knowledge, to try and understand spiritual truth. You need revelation, you know. And I brought a big fat book like that, Roman through Romans. By the time you read the book, after some, you're totally confused. Totally confused. But by the grace of God, we want to remove all that. So, the purpose is to dominate both the sin, nature of sin, and the acts of sin, so that you will come to the experience that what the Paul was not just talking, he was telling you the truth. Sin will not have dominion over you because you are not under law but under grace. Does that mean we don't have law? Of course we have laws. But you see, I'm not operating under the moral law of Moses and this all the sacrifices and, you know, the diverse washings and all the ceremonial laws. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm not under that anymore. They used to be under the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, just took us away from the, you know, being under the ceremonial law. Then he gave us a new law, which is a spiritual law, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because of that law, I can now dominate sin, nature, and sin acts. E.W. Kenyon calls it Sin and Sins. I can never forget reading that book 43 years ago. I said, wow. He said the church has never distinguished between sin and sin. Sin is the nature. Sins are the acts. You cannot overcome sins if you haven't overcome sin. Jesus came to overcome sin and then gave us his blood to overcome sins. Oh, celebrate. Give a Lord a clap offering, somebody. The new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you divine life and power to overcome the nature of sin. The blood of Jesus gives the power to overcome the deeds of sin. When you put the two of them together, sin will not have dominion over you. Did you get it? Olorun ajo ye wa o. Yes, mo gba mi o. My late dad, who is in heaven now, he will say, you know, he say, he say, he's the name of a washerman. This is one washerman called Amio. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, how do you do this? Now, Bimbo, put the that confession, general confession on the screen. This is something, there is a prayer God gave me that I want to use to teach from, you know, and make sure the scriptures, the references are there. Don't just put all the ordinary script without the references. Right. The law of the Spirit, you know, you should do this daily. This judgment, self-judgment. See, when you don't understand these things I've told you, you think self-judgment makes you feel under condemnation. I don't want to judge myself. Don't judge me, oh. That's the best thing you can do for yourself. You know what the Bible says? It says if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. If you understand it properly, self-judgment never brings condemnation. It frees you. Firstly, from the nature of sin. Then secondly, from the deeds of sin. If you're following me so far, give me a wave offering. I'm looking at the people at the back there. No. Keep waving. Don't stop waving. I'm looking at somebody there who is not waving. And it's bidding me. Who is sitting there? I need a wave offering. Aha. Everybody, keep waving. Keep waving. Keep waving. Keep waving. I'm going to keep you down. You know, it's a nice exercise anyway. All right. Then take the second hand. And then clap them together for a clap offering. Good. Now, let's break it down. This is how. How do you do this? How do you overcome the nature of sin, and the deeds of sin. Daily. Number one, you judge yourself. To judge yourself is not to condemn yourself. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation for in Christ Jesus. Self-judgment is not condemnation. It's an honest appraisal that is necessary to activate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Without it, without honesty, the law becomes inoperable. It doesn't work. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll just say it because so you can understand it. You see, the thing that causes the blood of Jesus to go into operation to overcome the deeds of sin is an honest admission of the sin. Where there is no honesty, the blood becomes dormant. So all this thing that our brethren do, the blood! It's just cartoons in the realm of the spirit. The evil spirits just look at them and shake their head. These guys haven't got a clue what they're talking about. Pour the blood, we plead the blood. You hear it all the time when people pray, the blood! And then you all of them just chorus it, the blood of Jesus. Use the blood of Jesus. Oh, as Auntie Rhoda is going to Lagos tomorrow, we put the blood of Jesus on our car. The blood, I need to get it. Pastor Larry, I need to get it. We put the blood. You know, I say that in a funny way, you know, and I say, they're my brethren. I love them. I'm telling you. I have, I yet not I, but the grace of God with me. God is helping me. I'm developing God's heart. That's that Ephesians 3 prayer is working in me. You know, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you'll be able to comprehend with all saints. So I don't say it in a condemnation kind of way, you know, or looking down at them. It's just ignorance. You know, you don't do that. The thing that makes the blood work is honesty. If we say we have no sin, the truth is, it's not going to work. If we say we have not sinned, so the condition for the activation of the blood of Jesus is honesty. You can now see why so many people stay under condemnation. They're dishonest about what they did. Yes. If you're not honest about it, you're not going to get cleansing. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have not sinned, two different things. One deals with the nature, the other one deals with the act. Yes, it's precision, you see. You know what? What I'm doing, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me, is that I am using something, what you call like a spiritual laser beam to divide the word. See, a laser is amplified light. That's where we get the word laser from. It means, you know, light amplification by simulated emission of radiation. You know, so that's why when you want very powerful light to be able to see into things that you don't normally see, use a laser. So I'm using a spiritual laser beam to divide the word. These are things you just think they are the same. They're not. One deals with the nature of sin. The other one deals with the acts of sin. And you got to deal with both of them. Thank you, Bimbo. Now let's go back to the confession. With the scriptures, God bless you. So you should do this every day. Say, I judge myself. 1 Corinthians 11:31, where that's about communion, but the principle is the same. He says, if we judge ourselves, then we will not be judged. It's not condemnation. Judging yourself is not condemnation. It's an honest appraisal to activate the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and free you from sin. And condemn, I didn't hear you, my wicked actions and attitudes of omission and commission hitherto. Observe that what is condemned is not you.
It is your actions and your attitudes. When you understand that, you won't feel under condemnation. But if you think it is you, then you will feel under condemnation. What you condemn is not you. What you condemn is what you did. A step further. And the nature of sin in you that made you do it, which is not you. Because the real you is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God for Paul. Let's give the Apostle Paul a super clap offering. Thank God for Paul. He know you. You can't understand you until you understand spirit, soul, and body. You see, the you has three parts. The you that is born again has no condemnation. The you that is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your body is the one that has a sin nature. So what you condemn is not the you that is born again. But you condemn the sin that is in the you, that is in the soul and the flesh. But you not only do that, when you condemn it, you know what you do? You execute it. That's what you do to a condemned armed robber. You take him to the firing squad and you shoot. So what do? You condemn the sin in your soul and body, crucified. Kill it by the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only do you kill it, you clean it out. And then it frees you. But you have to be honest that it happened. And you have to be honest about what caused it. Then you can now take these spiritual weapons, the blood, the word, and the spirit, and then remove the block it caused, put the life of God in there like a bullet, you load with the word, and then you fire by the spirit and kill it. Hola, Joe, you well. Walk on woman. So I condemn, not me, but my wicked actions. That's why I would do no condemnation. Of omission and commission, that is the one I did and the one I didn't do. Hello? So it covers everything. It's comprehensive. Comprehensive insurance. It's comprehensive. It's not third party. Totally comprehensive. And you know, comprehensive insurance is very expensive. Thank God Jesus paid the price. A clap offering. Hallelujah. Neko shela pradav. And so crucify by the Spirit. The words I speak, they're spirit and life. So when you're saying those words, you're crucifying it. The sin nature. See that in Romans 8:13. Now this is a very important scripture. Let's quickly cut there. We're going to cut back to the confession in a minute. Let's go to Romans 8:13. You see, thank God for Paul. Holy Spirit, that's Paul, who still have been roaming through Romans. Look at verse 13. I'm looking at King James, but you can also look at it in some of the modern translations. It says, "For if you live after everywhere you see sin, flesh in the New Testament, put sin nature in the flesh, you get a correct revelation. You know, it's not just the physical body." It's not the flesh itself. It is the sin nature inside the flesh. The sin nature inside the mind. The sin nature inside the will. The sin nature inside the emotions. Then you have a correct understanding. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Pastor, I want to tell you, this is what's going to set you free. All the wonderful things I'm going to preach in the months to come, if you don't have this foundation, you won't enjoy them. This fundamental. You know these foundations of faith, lesson 3 or 4. But I'm giving it now with a laser light. For if you live after the sin nature in your flesh, I'm paraphrasing deliberately, you will die. You're born again. You're a child of God, but you will die. That's why, you know, like a couple of said this, you know, he didn't say it in a bad way. He said the graveyards are full of them. That's why Christians are dying like nine pins all over the whole place. If you live out of the sin nature in your flesh, you will die. Nobody said amen. You say amen, you don't say amen, it's so. You're saying amen has got nothing to do with its reality. But, thank God there's a but there. Everybody scream, but! Then don't you ever say, thank God there's a but. So I'm going to live, I'm not going to die. But, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the sin nature in the flesh, you shall live. Now let me hear a shout amen.
Am I down low? One way, man, saucy.
Are you listening to me? The thing that is the problem is the nature of sin that is still in your soul and in your body, even your spirit is born again. If you don't make that distinction, you will live a confused Christian life for the rest of your life. The greatest legacy, God used E.W. Kenyon, followed by Kenneth Hagin and some others, and like my, you know, Ken Copeland, some of us who began to teach some of these things over these last 100 to 50 years. E.W. Kenyon wrote his books 100 years ago in the 1920s. You know, the greatest legacy, you know, God has given to the church through us is the correct division of spirit, soul, and body. If you don't understand spirit, soul, and body, you will remain a confused Christian. Roaming through Romans. Go back to the confession. Cut back to the confession. With the scriptures. Right. And so crucify by the Spirit the sin nature and its lusts. Understand, there is the nature. Then there is the desire that nature brings. So that desire for adultery, I just use that as an example. That desire for money, greed. That desire for food when you are fasting. A lust is a desire inconsistent with the will of God at that time. It's dynamic. When you're not fasting, a desire for food is not a lust. But when you're fasting, that same desire for food becomes a lust. But the thing that is causing that desire is the nature of sin inside you. If you get rid of the nature, you will stop having wrong desires. Wow! You know, I'm saying it deliberately because, you know, I don't want all this sky in the pie, pie in the sky thing. You know, it's all theory. I've experienced it. I'm experiencing it. I used to have, even after I got born again for some years, I would fight it, of course. But it's come to the place now where, you know, the desire is not even there. Because the sin nature that was producing it has been checked out. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, the thought may come. It can come from the outside. It's no longer inside. So it can come from the air, from the outside, you know, like it did for Jesus. The Bible said he was tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without sin. But because it is not inside and it is on the outside, and what is in the inside is stronger than what is on the outside, it is always easily overcome. Tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without sin. Give the Lord Jesus a super clap offering, a standing ovation. Standing. Go on, check by. It's not your age. It's not your rank. Hallelujah. You can be seated now. You know, we're dealing with the sin nature Jesus didn't have it in him. That's why he was born of a virgin. But he was tempted from the outside. But what was inside was always much stronger than what came from the outside. Hence the scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater, let me paraphrase, this revelation knowledge flowing. You know, greater is Jesus that is in you than he that is in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you activate what is inside and use it properly, you will always dominate what is coming from the outside. Once you've got rid of what is on the inside. It says, the evil one cometh, but hath no land inside. It's not inside. Nothing inside me that's cooperating. So the only thing I have to deal with is the one that's coming from the outside. And that one is a walkover. So long as I pray and walk. That's why Jesus had to pray, you see. Exactly. That's why he prayed every day. That's why I got to mourn and pray, you know. So long as he prayed, the Lord Jesus was permanently airborne all his life. Not once did the law of sin and death bring him down. He was there around him, but from the day he was born till the day he went to the cross where he allowed it, you know, sin to come in so that he could pay the price for us, he was permanently spiritually airborne. Can I tell you another one? That was why God had Anna and Simeon intercede for 60 years to reserve a bank of power that would take him through his baby years till he came to understanding. That's why they are recorded in scripture. And there was one, Anna, a widow of 84 years old, who lived 7 years from her virginity from her husband, and did not depart from the temple, but served with fasting and prayers night and day. Why is it recorded? And she happened to be at the temple the day they brought the baby in. That's the baby you've been praying for. I just got a word. It's a word of wisdom. All grandparents, start praying for your grandchildren before they are born. Pray for your grandchildren, even after they're born, even before they're born. start banking power for them. Instead of banking money, bank power. So by the time they are born, there's a power that's going to follow them to fulfill their destiny, like Jesus. Who that can receive it, let him receive it. He that cannot receive it, say, God, have mercy on me. Get back to the confession. We're going somewhere here. How many people are following me? Still on my side. Good. So crucified by the Spirit, the sin nature and its lusts. That's why the Bible says, you know, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. The sin nature in the flesh with its what? Affection. Affection is what it likes and lusts, what it desires. You can kill it. I used this illustration many years ago. Our medical guys will corroborate what I'm saying. You know, when someone will do an operation, you have an anesthetic. An anesthetic is a drug. They inject it so that your nerves you become deadened. So that when they put the knife, you won't feel it. You won't feel it. The knife is there. But because of the chemical that is inside the physical body at that time, It causes you not to feel the pain. If you put the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in sufficient measure inside your flesh, when sin comes, you won't feel it. You won't desire it. That's why it says you are dead to sin. That's the meaning. The sin will not have dominion. It's no longer attractive to you. The life of God inside you, you know, is so powerful that the loss of the flesh and the loss of something, when they come against you, and they do come, you know, they're crucified almost instantly. Twenty 2024 will be a good year for you. Grab this. Do you hear me? Grab it. Enter 2024 with no condemnation. Total overcoming of sin and its condemnation. That's the title of the message. Okay, let's move on. So I crucify this by the Spirit, the sin nature and its lust in my soul and body that caused them. Now let's go and roam through Romans a little bit. This was what came before Romans 8. This is where the understanding comes. Let's give Paul another clap offering. I know we've clapped for him, but Pastor G, I want to see what God is going to give Paul when we get to heaven. Ah, it was different too. I remember when we were in secondary school, you know, and you had these boys who were brilliant. In our language, that means that the guy has gone so far ahead of you that he has taken the corner. You can't even see his back. Paul Shekona. You know, later, Peter and all became to appreciate him. They didn't appreciate him at first. They thought he was proud. He wasn't proud. He just knew what he was talking about. He understood it. He said, the gospel which I preach, he said, I preach it not after man. He said, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't wonder. Paul was not a eunuch. Not like Daniel, who was castrated. You know, he wasn't a eunuch, but he made himself a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. He understood these things and dealt with sin. He dealt with it. So he didn't need it. He said, Paul, oh man, be one. He used to make them very angry. He would say, have not I and Barnabas power to lead about his sister? Oh, I'm focused. Peter be nungo. Like Peter and the bread, at James and the bread of the Lord. Yeah, I know all they say now. We too, we could have done that. He said, but we would share corner. Romans 7. I just got a text from the Holy Ghost. How many people want to check on our hair? What? Any rain here? Yes. If you would do this thing, why check on her? To use that expression, you'll be so far out in the realm of the spirit, Satan won't see your back. Oh, can celebrate that. Okay, let's get it. Romans 7, verse 17. Yeah, you could read the whole thing, but this portion just summarizes what I've been saying. He's talking about, okay, let me start from verse 14. I'm going to start from, you know, he said, we know that the law is spiritual. There is nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. There's nothing wrong with you will not steal, you will not kill, you will not commit adultery, honor your father and your mother. There's nothing wrong with all those commandments. They're perfect. The problem is not the commandment. The problem is the sin nature inside you that always wants to rebel against the commandment. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, theologians and Bible scholars will say, this proves that he was talking about before he got born again. No! He was talking about when he was a younger Christian. All of us start carnal. You can't help it. Because when you get born again, your flesh does not get born again. Your mind does not get born again. So the sin nature is still in your mind and in your flesh, which is what makes you carnal. The word carnal comes from carnival, which means flesh, you know, which just means natural. All of us. But as you grow out of carnality into spirituality. For I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Corinthian church. Come behind in no gift. Speak in tongues and confuse the whole church. Yet they were carnal. He said, where there's among you envy and strife. Are you not carnal? But every Christian is like that at first. That's why you have to grow. Pastor Olaolu said it today when I was doing the introduction. Everybody say, grow up. Everybody scream, grow up. Everybody shout, grow up. Otherwise, you remain carnal. This is not Paul's experience before he was born again. His experience when he was born again. And I'll prove it to you. So he now explains his dilemma, which all of us have experienced if we are honest. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. What I hate, that do I. How many have that happened to before? We have only a few honest people here. Remember, all liars will go to hell. All of us, without exception. Now, he now clarifies. I love this. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the Lord that it is good. No wrong 10 commandments. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. See the clarification? He didn't say sins, he said sin. Nature. Am I helping anybody here? God, you know when God gave me this message, he gave me this message when I was abroad, since September. He said it's the first message you preach when you get home. He said because it's going to be the foundation for the new year. That you're not going to be able to go far in some of these other things if this is not there. I'll tell you another thing. I'm preempting my new MM message, but I think I told Laolu, because Laolu was in England with us. That day, what happened was I came, you know, we just finished Feast of Tabernacles here in Nigeria. And I was asking God, I said, why hasn't the glory come? We all expected it. And I had so many signs. I had in my own personal life. Even our books all came out. You know, remember? Everything. I said, it's this year. It's this year. In Jesus' name, it's this year. And lo and behold, it didn't come. So, I asked God, I said, God, why? How? I can never forget it. I was in Heathrow Airport. I traveled alone. I was going back. That was before Laolu came. You know, my luggage was coming. To show you how I remember it. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, it hasn't come yet because the church is not ready. I said, Lord, but I'm ready. No, I'm being honest. Because I knew I was, you know. I was doing all of that. I'm not a hypocrite. I was doing all of these things and I knew this was a... He said, yes, you were ready. He said, but a lot of your people were not ready. He said, and if I had come, you would be crying. At the casualties that would have occurred. And he said, even you are not as ready as you think you are. He said, you are ready. He didn't take that from me. He said, but you are not as ready as you think you are. He said, and a lot of your people are not ready at all. He said, therefore, you guys have another 2 years or so for preparation. Just like Joseph. Joseph thought he was ready. And he interpreted the dream. He said, you have interpreted the Feast of Tabernacles. You've got all the revelation. Everything you said is correct. Perfect. Nothing wrong with it. He said, but you're not ready. Because it's not you alone. It's a company. And many of them are not ready. Then he began to download these messages to me. He said, they're going to need this to get ready. I had one thank you, sir. Just one. Larry Nicole, because it's my cousin. I'm only joking. But seriously, nobody knows, including those of us who are preaching it, the intensity of the power of God that is going to come when the glory comes. We only have Moses, who was so close to God, who used to stay in the presence of God. He said, I exceedingly fear and quake. God said, and what's coming is going to be outstrip what Moses ever got. Scripture. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly. Thank God he didn't come. Shall suddenly come to his temple. And he will be like a refiner's fire. You know what I said? What a word, Pastor Ibrahim. Who shall stand when he appeareth? The implication? Many will fall when he appears. Thank God he didn't come in 2023. Come for New Year's message. You can hear more about it. I'll interpret. You know, it's from Yoruba. I remember when we were children again, you know, I remember my secondary school, you know, when results come out after exam. I still remember form 3, form 4, form 5. You know, things like physics and add maths and chemistry. People say, okusun. It means most people failed. Thank God he didn't come. Okubasun. Even this fundamental, people haven't got it. Talk less of the more advanced things that we're going to download over the 2024. Amio, go back to Romans 7. Are you still on my side? Let's do that exercise again. If you ask someone, give me a wave offering. wave offering. Everybody who is not waving is in danger of hellfire. I'm only joking. You know why? The Bible says all liars. You're not a liar in Jesus' name. Now wave the second hand. Now clap the two of them. Mm-hmm. We will soon finish so you can go to rice and beans. That's the thing that's not letting you be ready. You prioritize natural things above spiritual things. What I'm giving you is more valuable than anything you are looking outside for. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now let's move on. Excuse me. Jesus is Lord. Now in verse 18 now makes a distinction. This is where you need revelation knowledge. He said, for I know that in me, then he puts it in bracket, not my spirit, not the man in Christ Jesus, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. How many people have experienced this? Remember again. How many people have experienced this? I expect everybody to be waving up. Because there is nobody who has not experienced this. Verse 19. For the good that I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. How many people have experienced that? I'm going to ask an embarrassing question this time. Don't put your hand up. How many people are still experiencing it? Hello? How many people are following me? It's the truth. May we love truth, oh. Because until you love truth, you will not be free. For if you continue in my word, then I desire, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Am I talking to anybody here? I don't want to do you well. Let me read this in one of the modern translations. Yes, New International Version says, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." How many has that happened to? Is this sin nature? Until you deal, you see, we've all made the same mistake. And what is it? We've all tried to solve the sins. So you do something, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, I would never do that again. La, 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 la. But you don't deal with the nature that caused it. You're running around in circles. You've got to deal firstly with the nature, then you deal with the deeds. And then I'm getting the end to close my message. If you start doing that, you know what's going to happen? You will see that the frequency and the gravity of your sins begins to drop like an exponential decay. And then it asymptotically approaches zero. Those of you who don't do math, you don't understand what I'm talking about. If you see the graph is like that. It comes from a high value, then start getting lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. Then after that, it starts going to zero. So the farther you go in time, the more it approaches zero. It's called an asymptote. Hold on, I tell you how. God was like, we're in me. That's before they say I'm mad. You know, they say something about Paul. They say, welcome to the club. If you're in revelation knowledge like us, they're going to start saying that about you. They said that about Jesus. They say the man is mad. They say, how much is this man let us have it never learned? They say, did we not say he has a devil? Let's say it in Yoruba. Ah, so somewhere hurry up. That's what they said about him. When you're walking revelation knowledge, you are peculiar to the average man. Even the Christian. They don't understand what you're talking about. Verse 21. I find then a law. I will say a law. This is law, sin and death in operation. That when I would do good, I didn't hear you. Evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is showing you he's born again. He's not when he was a sinner. The inward man was not born again. You know, this is born again here. Even Galatians really settles it. Because we write the born again spirit for Christians. Said the flesh lost against spirit, spirit against the flesh. So I don't know where the theologians got that thing from. That this is Paul's experience before. That's why they were roaming through Romans. You know, before he got born again. No! This is experience of a Christian when he's in his growing years, when he's still carnal. It's to born again Christians. Am I talking to anybody here? You will pass this course. You must pass it. Overcoming sin and condemnation. I'm going to get to condemnation in a minute. I've actually dealt with it, but I'm going to close shortly. It says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law. It's the law of the spirit of life. Sorry, law of sin and death. In my members, in my physical body, warring against the law of my mind. Huh, what a sad story. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Has that happened to you before? You want to do the right thing, but that thing is so strong, it brings you down. It's happened to me many times. That's why I went to study this thing. I went, tongues, fasting, 1982, 1983. I said, God, train me the way you train Jesus. All this, I start downloading all this revelation. I said, this thing can't be done. They have told us it cannot be done. You know what the brethren said? They said, so long as you are in the flesh, you always have the problem. You only be free when you go to heaven. Big lie. It's a lie. You can overcome it. Overcome sin and condemnation. For you are not under law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The nature will not have dominion over you. The deeds will not have dominion over you. Both of them. I just got another tweet from heaven. You know what God just told me? He said most of them don't want to be free from sin. They love it. There are some things they just like. I got another scripture, Pastor G. Onions, garlics, and leeks. God brought them out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. You know what I said? Our soul loathed this daily manna. Give us flesh that we will eat. We remember when we were in Egypt, our onions and our garlic and our leeks. As for this Moses, we know not what has happened to him. Aaron, which is our priests today, many of our bishops and our overseers, and yes, I will say it. I'm not mentioning names, but yes. Make us golden calf. Make us gods that will take us back. It's happening as I'm speaking. Prophetic fulfillment. Many Christians still love sin. And they don't want the truth that will set them free from sin. They want to eat their cake and have it. Enjoy sin, get forgiveness, and go to heaven. It went very quiet. Almost a pin, you could hear it drop. It's the truth. Holy Ghost is talking. They want to eat their cake and have it. And you know, Jesus will forgive you and all of that. So, you know, so long as it's not too serious, you know. Enjoy, you know, God will be forgiving, and which is true, God will forgive you and all of that, but it's going to rob you of your reward. It's going to rob you of your destiny. It's going to rob you of your resurrection. It's going to rob you of your glory. And if you're not careful, it'll rob you of heaven. Notice I qualified it. If you're not careful, many times in order to avoid that, God kill you ahead of time. That's why many of our people are dying, not because God doesn't love them, but because God loves them. Because if they continue like that, many of them will wind up in hellfire. Because although Jesus has paid the price, the wages of sin is still death. If you don't deal with it. One of the apostles writes, I think it was Paul, maybe Jude, and some of them. He said, for you remember that the Lord, after he brought out the people from Egypt, destroyed them that believe not. Then he warns us about three people. Korah. Abel. Oh, what's the name of that boy? Cain. And Balaam. Be careful. Don't love sin. Hate it. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even how many people want anointing? More anointing. So one without measure. It only comes to those who love righteousness and hate iniquity. Therefore, God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You may not love me at the end of this message, but it's okay. You know what? God loves me. And God, me and God were a majority. So you love me, praise God. You don't love me, praise God. Amen. Give me, go back to the confession. I've got to close. It's been worth every minute. You will not fail in this new year. 22. Okay, let's quickly finish Romans 7. Then I'll go to confession and close. Jesus, help me. Hold on. For I delight the law, in the law of God after the inward man. You know, okay, we've read that. So you see, there's an inward man and an outer man. The sin nature is in the outer man. The divine nature is in the inner man. So what you're supposed to do is, I say it every Wednesday when I teach on perfection. You're supposed to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to get rid of the sin nature in the outer man. And the more you get rid of it, the closer you get to perfection. Perfection is a condition in which all that sin nature in the outer man is totally got rid of. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, the same promises he talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, that might become partakers of the divine nature. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all, not some, filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting. That's where we get the word perfection from. Holiness in the fear of God. Did you get it? If you got it, say, Pastor, I got it. Then no, give me a thumbs up, man. Say, Pastor, I got it. Okay, you know, she's American there. All right. Oh my God, Pastor G. Let's go back to the confession and close. So I crucify the sin by the spirit, the sin nature and is lost in my soul and body that caused them. You see, when you understand this, you will never be under condemnation again. Because when you even when you do something wrong, you know what caused it. So you condemn what caused it, the sin nature. You crucify it by the spirit and you get cleansed by the blood and you walk free. You should never be under condemnation. Never let Satan put you under condemnation. Because you understand what caused it. It is no more I that do it. I didn't say you didn't do it too. I'm saying it is not your born again spirit, your the real you that wants to do it. It is the sin that dwelleth in you. So what do you do? You condemn that sin, crucify it, and cleanse it out. Once you understand that, you will never be under condemnation. I got to close. How many people still on my side? Okay, so I receive mercy unto eternal life, according to Jude. That will soften my heart to enable me to repent and to be faithful. The Bible says receive mercy to be faithful. Receiving wisdom and instruction, spoke about in the book of Proverbs. Have victory and triumph over judgment. You need, because you see, every time there's a sin, judgment comes, chastening comes. But if you are, this is why Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13 is very important. And this was a mistake David made. It says, he that hideth his sin will not prosper. But he that, everybody scream it, confesseth and forsaketh, shall receive what? Mercy. It's not enough to confess. You must forsake. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you will never do it again. That's where you're going. You know, so you don't get under condemnation and get tied up in all this sense knowledge, you know, legalistic strings. What it means is this: you make the decision. Do you understand? To overcome that thing next time it comes around. That's what it means to forsake. I'll go a step further. When you forsake sin, not only do you make the decision not to do it again, you avoid it with every fiber of your being. That's why the Bible says, you know, Jesus said this. He said, lead us not into temptation. I said during the Bible study, don't go near it. What was the young man going the way of our house? If you are forsaken, why are you going the way of our house? Avoid sin. Don't, you know, as much as, and even when it comes, you know, like Joseph, the Bible said he left his cloth there and fled. He didn't want to do it, but he was still flesh. You know, and Satan was using that woman looking into his eyes and you know, I don't know more, love more. He just put the cloth in and the boy fled. That's what you should do. And he told her in the book of Timothy, say, flee youthful lusts. Forsake is decision followed by action. Actions of avoidance, actions of abstinence, actions of wrong place, wrong movies, wrong books, wrong company. I got born again when I was 20. Young boy. I was in London. Well, when I rededicated my life to Christ. All kinds of temptation. You know, it's not like here. That place, there's no restriction. There's nobody. Nobody's thinking about, you know. And it's worse today. Yeah, you know, sex and all of that is just normal. Somebody said, he was lying, he said, you know, in those days, having sex is like playing tennis. That's how they think about it. They don't think, it's not a big deal to them. But to God, it's sin. And it will kill you. Imagine a young boy in that kind of environment, you know, totally surrounded by the devil. I had a church I was going to, but majority of the time I was not in church. I was on campus. I was in my hall. We even passed it these last few days. We drove past it. I told Wally, I said, that's my hall there. They're doing the reconstruction on it. Lillian Benson Hall. It was a postgraduate hall because I was in postgraduate, you see. So in that hall, we had married couples. You know, and then you had people like me who had, you know, double room, you know. But most of the time, I didn't have a roommate because I had medical guys who were on, what do they call this thing, postings. So sometimes, 3 weeks, I don't have anybody. Then they'll bring somebody else. Then they'll, you know. So I was free. Free to do and undo. Yeah, the temptations were terrible. And you know, I just gotten born again through the Holy Spirit. And you know, the devil bring all kinds of white and black. I'm being honest. You know, my first Christmas, 1979, I was alone. It's not like today. There was no mobile phone. There was nothing. You know? And my parents had money, but not that kind of money where I can fly to Nigeria and then come back. And, you know, I just started. So they tell you, read your book. Which is what we sent you there to do. And I had some friends. Not Christians, but nice guys. They said, oh, we're having a party. We're bringing some girls from Scotland. Come on. I mean, well, I know you're a pastor now, is it? But it doesn't matter. This is Christmas. You just come and join us. You know, just take a drink or two and then you come back downstairs. I almost went to. I must be honest, you know, because all liars will go to hell. It's the truth. I almost, you know, I Satan, you come and rationalize your mind. You're not going to do anything now. I mean, you're not planning. I mean, this is Christmas. I mean, just go out with the boys, you know. And it was upstairs. You know, just go, you know, just sit down. You won't drink alcohol, of course. You know, you're a Christian now. You won't smoke. Just take it, you know, just, yeah, and you're just, you know, listen to nice music. Just, you know. Ah, God help me. Olorun shanu me. To kill me before I started. You know what I did? They said to me, they tried to convince me. They were being nice. They weren't being, you know, seriously. They weren't trying to set me up with any girl. No. They were just saying, you're alone. I mean, just you alone. In that your room. You know. I mean, come on. In the winter. Thank you, Jerry. You know. I said, thanks. Appreciate. But no. I can't come. I said, okay. They went upstairs. I could hear the music. Bah, bah, bah. It was time of Saturday Night Fever and John Travolta and all of that. Some of you weren't born. You don't know what's on. You know what I did? I put my headphones on. So it would drown out the noise. The Bible says, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Don't go the way of our house. Then I put on Kenneth Hagin. So I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, you know, revelation knowledge, strong preaching. It drowned out that and I slept. That's what happened that day. That's how God delivered. Young people and old people, do not go the way of temptation. Don't go the way of our house. don't put yourself in an environment and a situation where you can be compromised. Let's say it in one word. Abstain from all appear, not the evil, oh, appearance. And God will keep you. Oh man, I got to close. Who's still on my side? Okay. So it is not your spirit that did it, but the sin nature of your spirit, soul and body. So that is what you condemn. You don't condemn yourself. Yourself is the real, your spirit. So you crucify and cleanse it out. And over time, stand to your feet. Let's close. Like I said, explain that exponential decay. The sin, acts of sin, and the nature of sin in your soul and body will gradually, you know, it will reduce. And then with time, it will start approaching zero. I first heard that from Kenneth Copeland. Zero sin rate. Zero sin. I didn't believe it when I first heard it. I mean, I believed it, but I mean, I hadn't had the experience. But now, it's actually true. You can go for days without sinning. And even when you sin, it will be things like, you know, Lao Lu said what he shouldn't say, which he says sometimes. I just pulling Lao Lu's leg. You know, and I remember, oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. That kind of thing. All those other ones are gone. Gone forever. For sin will not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Ever let it be. Be there. Let's talk to God. What a word. What a prayer. I don't know who wrote this song. It's a great song. Ever let it be. Ever let it be. Ever let it be, glory to God. Ever let it be. But let there be any gods above you.
Ever let it be that I will sing your praise. Always and forever.
Always and forever.
Ever let it be.
I want you to make a, we're going to all pray together in a minute, but I want you personally to make a commitment to God. Say, Lord, never again will I allow myself to be under condemnation. I will always use the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to overcome the law of sin and death. I will avoid sin as much as possible. But even when I sin, I will be quick to repent, quick to forsake, cleanse myself quickly with the blood of Jesus, and walk on without condemnation. I will dominate sin. It will not dominate me. Make that commitment and start practicing. Remember, it's not going to be overnight, but this is like exponential curve. It will start going down gradually until almost zero. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Remember, don't deal only with the sins. Deal with the sin. Most people make that mistake. They always go and run after what I did. Yeah, what you did was wrong, but what was the nature inside that caused it? Crucify that, then receive forgiveness and cleanse the sin out. Then ask for life. It's not enough just to say, I confirm my sin. Ask for life. That's why the prayer I taught you is so important. Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse from all righteousness. Don't stop there. And life and power. In sufficient measure, then pray in tongues. That's how you deal with it. Not enough just to say, Father, I confess my sin. Father, I confess my sin. No. You want to receive the blood. You want to receive life. You want to receive power. You pray in the spirit. You crucify it. You crucify the nature. Then you release life and power. Then you start loving God more. You get rid of sin and its desires. Now let's pray. Say, Heavenly Father, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. Lord, I understand better now that because I'm in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for me because Jesus took my condemnation. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Lord, I purpose in my heart to avoid sin, to avoid temptation. But if and when I do sin, I purpose in my heart, I determine by your grace and your mercy to quickly confess it, forsake it, repent of it, receive the blood of Jesus for cleansing. Receive the life of God. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify and cleanse out the sin nature in my soul and body that caused it. So I gradually, the sin nature in my soul and body will be totally cleansed out. And I will constantly live above sin, experiencing what your word has said. That sin, the nature of sin, the deeds of sin will not have dominion over me because I am not under the Mosaic law, but I'm under the grace that has come through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you, sir. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. In and upon my will, our wills, our minds, emotions, our bodies, our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, in this regard, in Jesus' name. I know we did this in the morning, but if you're here and you have not been prayed for sick, for if you're sick, the Bible says, is any sick among you? Let him call. The way you call now is to raise your hand. For the elders of the church. And they shall pray the prayer of faith over him. And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. So if you need healing, just raise your hand. If you are at home, stretch it towards your screen.
your device. Father, firstly, I remit the sins of these people in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus. And I ask for life and power, for healing for their bodies. Strengthen them, have mercy on them, encourage them. And with this healing, help them to live a life of righteousness and no longer a life of sin. In Jesus' name, amen.